desire and interest in your prayer this morning. It doesn't get any easier. I have a burden that seems to increase. Someone give me a songbook, please. Since I've been here on the grounds, and so I need the Lord's help. This is a message of warning and challenge. So I'm going to write the title on the board. So I've written on the board two simple words, the thief. And I first want to start off with this, and perhaps we'll get a little bit of interaction from the crowd here this morning. First of all, and by a show of hands, if you don't mind, how many have ever had something tangible, physical, stolen from them? Anybody? Wow, there's been several. All right. Now, this next one is, we don't have to have a show of hands because I'm sure it's all happened to us. But how many have ever had someone lie to them, like, in your face? I mean, just flat out lie to you. I think we all have. But the question I want to ask here this morning, first of all, when you had that item or items or however many times it happened or whatever it was, how did that make you feel? And I'll just ask for input. How did that make you feel?
Violated.
That is the exact word that came to my mind, too. And anyone else?
Scared.
What's that?
Scared.
Scared? Okay, yes. Because, like, will they come back for another round? That's right.
Scared.
Insecure. Yes. So the word that came to my mind, too, was violated. And there's just something about it. When you have worked, it's your hard-earned money that whatever you purchased or whatever you've acquired or whatever you've put all your effort into, and then someone steals that from you, that just seems so unfair and so unjust. They're like, how dare them do that? That is just not right. That's not fair. Why would you do that? Folks, we have someone that has even more sinister schemes than just to steal tangible items from us, do we not? And I want to speak to the young people this morning a little bit. This is for all of us, but there is something, I have a burden for the young people. And you realize you young people have so much potential. And you know what the devil would love to do? He would love to steal that from you. Your great potential of becoming a great man and woman of God. Someone that can be counted on to get their prayers through. And yet, we see year in and year out, the devil taking advantage and stealing things from our precious young people. And it happens to adults, older adults too. It happens to all. But there is something about when it's a young person, they have the whole future ahead of them. And the opportunities. And yet the devil would love to come in and steal something. That there might be some missed opportunities to become something for God. But you know, thinking of this, with this great potential that you young people have, you realize that is a definite threat to Satan. You know, when Satan looks at this wonderful group of young people, you realize as long as you're seeking and following the Lord, you're a tremendous threat to his kingdom. You realize that? And I like that. But the devil is not content just to sit back and go, oh, I feel threatened, and then just kind of walk on. No. Folks, I want to read a scripture, and we've all heard this many times, in John, the 10th chapter. And these scriptures, there's a lot going on here. And Jesus is actually speaking about the false shepherds, the ones that came before him and that were taking advantage of the innocent people. They were stealing from them. Okay? But who was behind these false shepherds? Satan himself. Okay? So Satan will come in all kinds of forms and shapes, but yet it's him ultimately and his spirit behind all of that. So in this chapter, we won't read all these verses, but Jesus is talking about he is the door and he is the good shepherd. But notice in verse 10, John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. He's come but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. You realize that rings true to all of us here this morning? You know, Satan would love for none other than for all of us to go home and within a few weeks' time, we all get discouraged and we fall out in following the Lord. The devil would love that. He's like, yes, mission accomplished. But dear ones, let it not be said of us, of any one of us, that he not steal something so precious from us, okay, that we get distracted or off course and not realize what he's doing behind the scenes, and he's slipping something in, and then before long he's slipping something back out and it's gone. So I want to share a couple of stories this morning that's happened to us, and one of them was me directly. But the first one I want to share was, it was over 20 years ago. We still don't know who it was, but we're pretty sure it was at least two people. Stole some stuff from our place, from our home. And I'll just establish this. First of all, it was at night, which is pretty common. But we were at home. We were in our house, asleep. It was a Wednesday night. We got home from church, and Brooke was just a little boy at that time. It was just Sheila and I, and Brooke is a little baby. And we were all asleep and never knew anything happened. What they did is they broke into our vehicles that were parked in our garage. And the garage didn't have garage doors at that time. And it was an older one we tore down and rebuilt. But we'd only been there a few years. But that morning when I got up, that Thursday morning, I got up and walked out to my little pickup truck. And I noticed as I opened my door that the seat was leaned forward. I just never did that on a regular basis. I'm like, that's odd. I don't think Sheila would have been out there. And I know little Brooke, he wasn't out there doing anything. I'm like, well, I just kind of passed it off, hopped in my truck, and went on to work. And it wasn't until I got to work that I get a phone call from my wife. She's like, babe, I think someone has been at our place and stole some stuff. I'm like, what? Because she noticed some things were out of order as well, and she got out to the garage. So I quickly told my boss, I'm like, I got an emergency. I got to run home. I'll fill in the details later. And he's like, oh, yeah, just do what you got to do. And so I race home. And as I'm driving home, you know what's going through my mind? I'm thinking, you know what? What if he's still hiding in one of the barns out there? You know, my wife is alone there. I'm like, what? And I couldn't get there fast enough. And I'm thinking, what's going on? What happened? And then all my wheels started turning. I'm like, my seat was pushed forward. And sure enough, when I went out, by the time I got home and I looked behind my seat, and sure enough, there were items missing that I had stashed. I had some hunting items and some tools. And then I get to the house and there was other tools gone. And you see some remnants of other things that they'd obviously got scared with a noise or commotion at some point, and they ran off, and there's a long story behind that. But the other thing I noticed was they obviously had taken their time, and this is just what sent chills down my spine, thinking, we were asleep, and there were several cigarette butts out by the garage, just laying there, scattered around. Not just one or two. It was five or six cigarette butts. So I'm thinking, these guys were taking their time. And there was probably more than one, probably two. And so my mind is just racing. Of course, I'd already called the sheriff's department and was having someone, a deputy sheriff, come out. And so I'm, you know, going through everything, and I checked the barn. Anyway, no one was there, thankfully. They were gone. But when it was all said and done, and the sheriff's deputy came to our house, and he's filling out a report, and we're explaining everything to him. He's writing down all the stuff that was stolen that we could remember or think of. And as we're concluding this, concluding this report, I remember a couple of things he told me, because I'm a young father and a husband here, and I'm scared for my family. I'm like, man, I don't know that I want to leave and go back to work, you know? And then what about the next night? And, you know, all these things going through my mind. And so, but you know, he told me a couple of things. First of all, he said, I'm like, what do you think they'd ever break into our house? He's like, well, from my experience, he said, typically they don't want a confrontation. They just want to get in there and get something quick and be gone. I'm like, well, it wasn't very quick. Look at, and he saw all the cigarette butts and everything. He's like, wow, yeah, they kind of took their time. And there was a yard light just shining right where they were at. But there was just something about it that just went all over him. Like, how could they do this? And I felt so violated. I'm like, and there was one, I mean, there were some items taken that some people had given me that were very special to me, and they're gone. I'm like, I can never get that back. I'm like, that's just not right. But you know something else he told me? I said, all right, so they probably won't break into the house. That's a good feeling. He's like, yeah, if they know you're home, they usually don't. They just want to get in, get their stuff, and be gone. And I was like, well, what can we do to help this situation? He's like, well, he's like, one of the best things you could do is get you a dog. And he asked if we, I was like, no, we didn't have a dog. He's like, you need a dog. I'm like, okay. So we made quick work of that. We got a dog soon after that, a couple of them actually. But there's just something about it. He said, when they know there's dogs around, because they're an amazing alarm, they have amazing ears and eyes, don't get some little yip yip, get a dog that, you know what it is. So we got a dog, but you know, there was another thing on my own observation that I, when he left, and I'm looking around my place, and you know, obviously a person can get all kinds of alarm systems, and you can do all kinds of stuff, and that's fine. But I'm thinking, okay, initially there's some things I can do right now that won't even cost much money. There was another thing I realized, and this is just something, again, we had no proof of this, but come to find out later, there was a string of robberies that were happening, so we were just one of the many places that were hit that night, actually. But there was something else I observed. Along our road, the fence row there, again, we hadn't been there very long, but there was a fence we had taken out, and there was still a bunch of weeds along this fence row, along the road, that had gotten pretty tall. And as I'm looking at that and considering that, I'm like, you know what? Because the road kind of tapers and gets closer to our driveway, and I'm thinking, you know, the guys probably weren't bold enough to drive their vehicle right up to our place. They probably had a lookout, and I don't know all this, so this is just me surmising in my mind, but they probably had a vehicle parked behind all these weeds on the road and sent a couple of guys up there to get the stuff and just walk through the yard and hop in their vehicle, and they're hiding behind this, and then they're gone. So, you know, that was another thing I took it upon myself. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to take any chances. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to get a dog. I'm going to make sure there's plenty of lighting. And I'm going to make sure that there's good visibility. All right? So I annihilated. I just totally wiped out that fence row. And ever since then, you can drive by our place, and it is short. Okay? And we spray it. We weed it. It's like nothing grows there anymore. I've become very passionate about it. But you learn some lessons in life when you encounter things like that. And by the way, they never did catch them. It was just like, yeah, they probably sold the stuff at the pawn shop, and they were able to get some money to get their drug fix or whatever. He's like, it's pretty typical. But you know, that was just one incident that has marked me forever. It made me stop and think about how quickly and easily things can happen when you're asleep, when you don't realize what's going on, and something sinister is going on in the background. But if I would have had a dog, and believe me, it was such a good feeling when we had a dog, and things would happen at night, and we would hear the dogs barking, we're like, hey, all right, you know, this is working. And we know, but you know something else? There was something about it. For weeks after that, you know, at nighttime, before we were fixing to go to bed, you know, I'd look outside and just look at the road. And you know, if I would see a car slowing down or driving really slow past our road, it got my attention like that. I'm like, and I'm gonna stand here and watch them. Let's see what they do, you know. I was on red alert. And there's just something about it. When something like that happens, you're so keenly aware to all the little details, excuse me, that maybe you weren't before. But you know, when Satan has taken advantage of us, and when he has stolen something from us or from one of our loved ones, you know what it does to us? It puts us on red alert, doesn't it? But you know what happens? What so easily happens is you can become casual to that after a while and just kind of like, oh, well, that's happened before. It's been a long time. But did you know something can happen again? It can jolt you again? Well, that happened to me. It was a little different level, but I had something else stolen from me. And this happened just a few years ago. And it was a totally different scenario. But there was something about it. And believe me, I learned some lessons from this too. Sheila and I were on a trip down in Arkansas. And we were traveling back one. It was a Friday evening. And we had some car trouble as we got into northwest Arkansas there. So we pulled in and we had to park it. And ultimately, I could tell, I'm like, okay, we're going to have to get it towed home. It's only about, 60 miles away, but like, there's no way we're just going to have to get it towed home. So I'm on the phone trying to make these phone calls and arrangements because there was just a short window of time before everyone was closed. And there was a few 24 hours, but it was just, trying to make things happen. And then I had to make arrangements for our boys to come down and pick us up and meet us down there. And so all this hubbub is going on, and finally, we make some arrangements. The tow truck will be showing up later and all these other things. And the boys are coming to meet us. So in the meantime, Sheila and I are like, you know what? We got to get something to eat. So we walk down to McDonald's. And so the boys met us there. And we walk into this McDonald's. And as we're standing there and we're getting our orders, you know, my mind is thinking about the vehicle and what I'm going to, all the things. And I'm just thinking about all that stuff. And as I'm paying for the food, I get my wallet out, and I, swipe my debit card and do all this. And as I'm standing there, I don't realize it, but I set my wallet down just like that. And for whatever reason, and it wasn't till we were done eating, and we had already drove off, and we were back down where the other vehicle was at. And I reach back for my wallet to check something, and my wallet's not there. I'm like, oh, no. And at this time, I had no idea. I'm like, okay, is it in the vehicle? So we checked both vehicles thoroughly. We're looking on the ground. I'm like, no, it's not there. And so I'm like, I already have car problems here. And I'm like, and now my wallet's, where's this one? I'm like, okay, you boys playing a prank on me? No? Okay. So I'm frantically looking around, and I'm like, okay, this is not good. So we race back to McDonald's, and we pull into McDonald's. We're looking at the parking spot, and we're like, hey, you guys check the trash cans, because, who knows, maybe if we, because we threw some trash out as we walked out. So we're checking the trash. Anyway, yeah, we're checking trash cans, and we walk inside. So I walk in and walk directly up to the counter, and I ask the lady, and it happened to be the assistant manager, like, ma'am, have you seen a brown leather wallet? And she's like, no, I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen any wallets. I'm like, okay. I was like, well, do you remember me? I was just here like 15 minutes ago. And she kind of like gave me this blank look. I'm like, I was getting pretty desperate. Then I'm like, wow, I was just right here and I checked out right here. It doesn't do any good to tell you what I ordered, but obviously you don't remember me. But I was here. And now my wallet is gone. And she just kind of like, I don't know. She just didn't act too concerned. And I kind of noted that in my mind. Well, then I asked her, can we look in these other trash cans inside? So she gave us permission, and so we're looking, and we're just desperate. Well, finally, after about 20 or 30 minutes, we realized, okay, it is not to be found, and this is not good. So I already had the other issues on my mind, and then now my wallet, and so we got to make phone calls to cancel the cards. And I'm like, oh, man, this is, it's the weekend. And, my driver's license. And oh, yeah, there was $200 of cash in there. And I'm like, well, that was, Anyway, so the end of the story is, I left my name and number with the assistant manager there, and I continue to be in contact, and I actually went up the chain and actually talked to, got a hold of someone in McDonald's management of the district manager there, and was talking with this lady, and then she encouraged me to go ahead and contact the local police department, file a report, so I did that. So I spent the next 2 or 3 days on the phone, I don't know how many hours, just talking and trying to come to find out they had video footage of my wallet being taken and put under the counter by the assistant manager. She said she claimed she didn't see anything. Let me tell you, when they told me that, I'm like, she what? Like, yeah, there's footage of her putting, she didn't like take it, but she put it under the counter. I'm like, really? I'm going, well, then what happened? So, long story short, there was an accomplice, okay? The manager did not leave the store with my wallet, but a presumed accomplice took the wallet out the store. And they believe they were connected, and they did some investigation. I talked to the detectives later. And again, the long story short is, I never got my wallet back, and I never got the $200 back. I would have had to go into small claims court and go down, travel in Northwest Arkansas, and do all these things and try to. Anyway, ultimately, the district manager at McDonald's, they felt that the assistant manager obviously did lie and she was a part of it. She did lose her job, but there was nothing else that took place after that, to my knowledge. But there was something about that that to this day, now I haven't forgot my wallet's down here. But let me tell you, when I go to pay for food or gas or whatever, and I'm at the register, and the moment I put it, it's like, whoa, put it right back. It's like, I have that flashback. I remember what happened. And it was just a few moments. And I was distracted in my mind by all these other things going through my mind. And then I just left the wallet there, and I walk away, and the rest of the family didn't see it. They were doing other stuff. And then she just quickly puts it, I'm like, and then not only was my wallet stolen, but I was lied to by a manager. And talk about feeling violated. And again, these are just temporal things, okay? But you know what I had to do? There had to be a lot of effort and energy put into getting a new driver's license, getting new cards, and then the $200 that were gone, how many hours of work was that? And then, there were other special things in my wallet, like little handwritten notes of different things that were gone. Just little things that, anyway. But I lost all those. But to think of the other things I had to do to try to make up for all of that. And it was simply because of one thing. It was just a few moments of my negligence. And I just laid it there. And someone could say, well, it must not have been very valuable to you. I'm like, I usually am pretty good about not losing things. Right, babe? I mean, but really, I mean, I'm usually trying to keep track of things, and that was unusual that I just so casually left my wallet and just walked away. That wasn't me, but I was distracted, folks. All right? So I want us to consider this morning. Do you realize Satan loves to take advantage of us at weak moments as well? And to try to get our minds on other things and thinking about other things, and we just so casually, inadvertently, accidentally, whatever, leave something where he can easily snatch it. And we may not even realize it's gone until we're maybe, whether it's miles down the road or years or months down the road, and realize, hey, something has happened. We realize, oh no, he got me. It's gone. What am I going to do? And then the panic starts. And then obviously the recovery process and so on and so forth. But there's something about when we are stolen from and we realize it and we feel so violated, how much more so with our souls? And I want to speak again to the young people here this morning. There are all kinds of things that he can steal from you. Your future, opportunities, Your innocence?
Yes.
Your time?
Yes.
Your health? You realize drug addictions are skyrocketing? And you know Satan is so sneaky. There are things that, I won't go into detail here, but just certain drugs that look so innocent, and yet you can become addicted almost immediately. And there's other things. He can steal your family, relationships, your freedom. How about your peace of mind? You know, quite frankly, after that incident and my wallet and everything else is going on, I didn't have much peace of mind at that time. And there's a whole lot more to that story I'm not going to share here this morning, but there was a lot of valuable lessons I learned from that too. I didn't let it go to waste. But ultimately, Satan desires to steal your soul, your life. And he will work patiently to get it. Taking one little thing at a time where you don't realize what he's doing. He's like the thief in the night where you're asleep and you're doing just your regular duties or whatever, and you don't realize that the enemy is lurking outside and he's taking valuable things from you, from your life. And then you wake up and you realize, oh. And then later it's like, you know, I could have done something to help prevent that. You know, I look at it this way. Having these barking dogs is almost, it's like having the Holy Spirit with you. You understand what I'm saying? It's having another entity within you. Someone else to be on guard for you that you don't realize the noise because those dogs have such sensitive ears that we don't have. We're inside the house and we're safe and sound asleep and we're just carrying on life. And yet the dogs are out there and they're hearing these noises, something foreign, and they realize it's a vehicle they've never seen before. So they start barking, there's the alarm. Then it's our job to respond. You realize the Holy Spirit is faithful to us? If you could say to bark the alarm saying there's something going on, there's someone prowling around out here, you better do something. You could easily just open the door and say, hey, be quiet, and I want to go back to sleep, and shut the door and go back to bed. You could do that. Even spiritually speaking. But at the expense of losing something valuable. Lord, help us to respond to the Spirit. Not only to obtain the Spirit, but to respond and keep the Spirit within us, that we might be alarmed and if you could say, given notice of what's going on around us. But then, you know, another thing, speaking of with the wallet, it is so easy, as I mentioned, to be distracted. And I want to speak specifically to one of these things I mentioned. I want to talk about, well, before I do that, I want to read a scripture in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Common scripture here, but just to lay a little foundation here of that there is something that we must do. We have a part in this. Because Satan would love to, none other than to just wreak havoc in our lives to where there's nothing left. And we feel so hopeless and useless, that's the exact feeling he's wanting us to get, all right? Because then ultimately he'll just take your life. You see what I'm saying? I mean, one thing leads to another. But there's little things, little warnings, little indicators that, Lord, help us, that we consider. And here in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You know, Satan's not playing games here this morning. And he's interested in more than just stealing a few tools or hunting supplies or your wallet. Oh, he'd love to do that. But no, he's more sinister than that. He has your future in mind. He's like, if I can just steal a few more little things from them, they're going to feel so guilty and shameful and so worthless, they're not going to want to continue to follow the Lord. They're not going to want to try to start life over again. They're just going to continue down that path, and he's going to continue to steal and to destroy and ultimately kill. But to think of, it says, be sober, be vigilant. Folks, there's something we have to be vigilant here this morning. We have to be on guard. As I mentioned with my wallet, it's now when I lay it down, it's like, oh wait, nope. I have to be vigilant. I can't be careless and have other things going on in my mind that had nothing to do with my transaction. You realize that's what Satan loves to do? To get us thinking about things totally unrelated to our soul. And get so carried away with life. And I get it, okay? I'm a husband and a father. I have a job too. And we have the cares of life. We have to live life. But the devil would love for us to be so consumed with those things that we neglect and forget something that is so valuable right before us that it gets stolen and we don't even realize it until it's too late and it's gone, or they're gone, the thief is gone, the item is gone. I'm like, what do we do? You feel violated. You feel hopeless, don't you? I'm like, and it was so frustrating. I remember after driving home that evening, I was just beating myself up. I'm like, why? I'm like, I know. I didn't know for sure until a couple of days later, and they revealed to me about the footage, about what actually happened. They're like, yeah, you just laid it and left it right on the counter. I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, yes, we have the proof of it. We have the footage of it. You did that. I'm like, really? You know, Lord, help us. That we take full responsibility and accountability for our actions. And I couldn't blame anyone else but myself. I can say, well, babe, why didn't you tell me? Or boys, why didn't you help look out? They had their own things going on. That was my wallet. That was in my care. Those were my things in that wallet. You would have thought I would have been much more careful. But at a weak little moment, when I was distracted, it was gone. Just like that. And for you young people again this morning, I want to focus on opportunities. The devil would love to steal opportunities from you. Because again, Satan, as I mentioned at the beginning, you have a lot of potential. The Lord can do a lot of things with your life. And I'm talking even beyond, ultimately sometimes, you know, maybe the young people think, oh, be a preacher or a teacher, a missionary or whatever. Yeah, maybe that, but it's beyond that. The most important thing is for you to stay faithful to the Lord all the way through the end. To be an example of the believers that others, as Brother Ted was saying this morning, to make attractive the way. That's what this life is all about. That others might find the Lord as well and be saved from sin. Because if we fall out and we lose out and we allow the Satan to destroy us, who else is going to do that? You see what I'm saying? It's up, Lord, help us to be responsible for our own souls and to take it serious, not casual, and just let the door open, so to speak. Just innocently, maybe just for a few moments. But to think of the talents and the energy that you young people have, the potential, your future, all the things that the Lord could use, not just in the church, but in your future family someday. But He would love to steal these things, these opportunities from you. And it just to get you distracted, it could be for a few seconds, for a few minutes, for a few hours. You see what I'm saying? And it might seem so innocent. But you're doing all these other things and you're thinking about this and you're doing this, and then you just so casually leave it sitting right there. And then you walk away. And then Satan takes it. But you know, I'm thankful that the message of the gospel is a message of hope. You realize, so thinking about just the wallet in particular, you know, what if I was needing to catch a plane the next morning on a business trip? How easy would it have been to do that without my wallet? It would have been a missed opportunity. I would have called my boss and say, my wallet got stolen. Okay, well, you need to be such and such. You know, you got to have your ID, you know, all these other, and I'm like, I don't have it. It could have been a missed opportunity. You see what I'm saying? But fortunately, that wasn't the case. But I had to spend the next several days on recovery. Again, on the phone, canceling all these things and being on the phone with the authorities and with the management of McDonald's and being involved in all of that. And there were just so many things going on that I was so consumed with all of that. Think of all the other things I could have been doing with true purposeful energy on a more legitimate project. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. But instead, I was wasting all of that time and money and resources because of my negligence of just a few seconds of leaving something on the counter. And it was my fault. Oh, man, it was just so frustrating. I'm like, I can't believe I did that. But I did. But thankfully, I was able to, of course, got, you know, everything renewed or replaced. And so I was able to make things right again in that regards. Never did get my wallet back. But there was just something about, and just thinking again of all the time. Folks, I spent hours on the phone. And besides that, just talking with Sheila and my boys about it and just kind of like, oh man, you know, and just kind of stepping through the whole thing and reliving it all and just all those things. And again, all of that could have been avoided if I would have just put it back in my pocket and went on my way. So I want to speak to us again this morning about this way. Perhaps a person has been negligent, and maybe you have, in a weak moment, failed the Lord. You realize there's a way back. Do you realize things can be renewed again? And you can find favor with God again? And God will forgive you? No, I never got that same wallet back. I never got the $200 back. But you know, I got a valuable lesson out of that. But beyond all of that, I thought of the story of the prodigal son. You realize he got some things stolen from him too, when you think about it. Think of the missed opportunities he would have had back in his father's home. The luxury of going to bed every night in a comfortable bed and warm meals, but yet he was out in the pig pen, sleeping in the mud and eating the scraps from the pig slop. He was missing some opportunities to be home with his father. At the same time, he wasted everything, you could say, indirectly, that Satan stole all his inheritance. But yet, he actually gave it away because he was negligent, and he just left it there, and he got consumed and distracted with all these other interests that he had. And he burned it up. He used it up. It was gone. Satan took advantage of him. And there were some missed opportunities he lost out on. But oh, when he finally came to his senses, and yes, he was a ways down the road, so to speak, in his life, but he finally came to his senses and realized, this is foolish. Something's been taken from me. He's like, I think I'm going to go back to my father's house. I'm going to go back, see if he'll take me back in. Dear ones, this morning, if you found yourself negligent, too casual with some things in your life, and maybe Satan has taken advantage of you, and he's stolen some opportunities from you, to where you've had to go back and try to, like, oh, I got to go make amends, I got to like ask forgiveness for this, and I got to go repay that, and I have to. I look at it this way. You know, have you ever been driving down a road, especially on an interstate, and you're in a conversation with someone in the vehicle, or you're on their phone, you're talking or whatever, and you miss your exit? Oh, that is so frustrating. Why'd I do that? I should know better. Oh, I've done it different times. And, well, yeah, okay, well, we can make it right, but we're going to have to go the long way around to come back again and take the right exit. We're going to take another route over here and over there and waste a lot of time and gas and energy and all that. If I would have just been paying attention, I wouldn't have missed the exit. But, folks, there is a way back. And as I mentioned with the prodigal son, we're not going to turn and read those scriptures. But you know, when he came back, the father was watching and waiting for him, wanting to welcome him back in his arms and to welcome him back home and restore. Now, he couldn't get the money back that he already burnt. It was stolen. It was gone. It was used up. Those opportunities were gone. But yet he allowed him back home and he forgave him to be part of the family again. And so I want us to take courage here this morning. Perhaps there's something maybe that you have, again, been too casual or negligent about and got distracted. And maybe in a weak moment, you let Satan steal something from you. I want you to know that there is a way back. Don't allow Satan to continue to steal those opportunities. And to continue to feed you some lies of, oh, well, you're no good anyway. You messed up. It's over. It's done. There's no more hope for you. Folks, Satan is a liar and the father of them, okay? That's what Jesus said. Satan, just like that manager, she lied to me in my face. And I'm like, later, I'm like, how could you do that? And yet she was, some of the detail, well, anyway, there's a lot more to it. But the point was, I felt so violated. She's a man. She knew, I mean, she's in that position. Yes, she lied to me. You realize Satan will use things in life that's like a wolf in sheep's clothing. He himself and those that are working for him in his kingdom, all right? Just to deceive and to trick you and to lie to you, whatever necessary, just to take something from you. Satan will lie to you and say, oh, that's not going to hurt. That's not a big deal. You can get away with this. No one's going to see you. No one's going to know. It's not going to hurt you. You can go on living life. You have your whole life before you. You'll be fine. Those are the lies Satan is going to tell you. And if you start listening to him, before long, you're going to get kind of callous to it and maybe kind of casual to it. And then something's going to happen. And you're going to have that weak moment and you're going to leave something laying there, spiritually speaking, and Satan's going to take it. And you may not even realize it until later. And when you come to your senses like the prodigal son's thinking, what am I doing here? Eating this pig slop. This is not what I wanted for my life. Dear ones, I want us to know that there is a way back. That's the message of the gospel. There is hope. But if it takes us realizing and recognizing ourselves, taking full responsibility, just like the prodigal son, he couldn't blame anyone else of his friends that already left him anyway out in the world. He couldn't blame the farmer that was feeding the pigs because at least he had something to eat. He couldn't blame his father. He couldn't blame his brother. There was no one he could blame but himself. He was the foolish one that got distracted by all the allurements of what was out in the world. That perhaps the people that had been to the city and all the different things that the sinful people were doing in town, so to speak, and all these things. Oh, that sounds fun. I'm tired of working here on my dad's farm, and I'd rather be partying and doing all these other things. Oh, that sounds fun. That's not a big deal. So I want my inheritance. So he leaves. Oh, but it was a lie. Satan was telling him, oh, it's going to be fun. Well, maybe it was fun for a little while, but it was short-lived. But when he came to his senses and he took full responsibility for his negligence, for him being too casual with everything that he had right there with his father, he had everything he needed. He didn't need any more. But yet Satan tricked him and stole something from him, stole some opportunities. But oh, dear ones, when he came back, what was the father doing? Was the father distracted by something else and just away having a pity party somewhere? No. He was standing there watching and waiting for his son to return and to welcome him back. So my message here this morning is, if you've allowed the thief to steal something from you, I want you to know that the Lord will forgive you. If you come back to him in true humility and say, Lord, it was me, it was my fault, And I'm so sorry. I realize now what Satan has done. He tricked me. And he stole from me. And he lied to me. And you know, you can be, and just to be frustrated at that is not enough. You have to make some changes from then on. Realize I have to put up some guards, some barriers. Or maybe there's some things I need to cut down or not, like the fence row there. Because I want to see if an enemy or a thief is going to be stopping by my house again. I want to be able to see. And maybe I need to get some dogs so I can hear when the enemy's lurking around. To warn me, to alert me, what's going on? I.e. the Holy Spirit. That He can tap us on the shoulder with that still small voice saying, child, this is dangerous. You need to pay attention. Put that back in your pocket, so to speak. Don't leave it out there to leave yourself vulnerable. Because Satan, as we read earlier, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. He's walking around your life and my life, trying to see, is there any weak spots? Is there any little areas that he can hide behind? Is there any areas he can lie to us and we just kind of... Is there any areas that he can get us distracted about thinking about other things rather than our souls? And then he swoop in and take advantage of us. But Lord, help us that we do as the scripture says, be sober, be vigilant. That means be watchful, be alert. Like I said, after our place was broken into and those things were stolen, I was on red alert. Any vehicles that passed by, I'm paying attention. I'm like, okay, those are neighbors. I don't recognize that car. Well, what, are they slowing down? I was on red alert for a long time. Lord, help us that we be on red alert, that we realize we don't want this to happen again. We don't want Satan to take advantage of us again and to steal from us. And not just to steal, but it's his desire is to destroy us. But he starts with stealing little things from us, and they start mounding up and piling up. And before long, you get overwhelmed with saying, what is wrong with my life? And then Satan says, you're the problem. And you know, there is some truth to that. But the reality is, he's the one that is tempting. He's the one that is deceiving. He's the one that is lying. He's the one that is stealing. But it is up to us that we make the decision. Are we going to allow this to happen again? Are we going to allow Satan to take advantage of us? Again, this morning, it is up to you and I to take personal responsibility that Satan not take advantage and steal things from us. And I mentioned earlier the opportunities. You don't know what the future holds. Only God can see those things. God sees the potential you have, the great potential you have. And Satan is, you could say he's trembling in his boots saying, wow, if they really get a hold of the Lord and they continue with the Lord, I'm not going to have much sway in their life. And I can't destroy them like I desired to. So he's going to try to find another way, another route to get you distracted, another route to sneak in behind the bushes, so to speak, and to catch you unawares at that weak, innocent moment, so to speak. Oh, Lord, help us that we be vigilant, that we be sober. That means that we're not in excess of things that are not of God. Be sober. And then to be vigilant, to be watchful, to be alert, to be not snoozing. If you understand what I'm saying, it's like, just kind of floating along in life and just, you know, this is no big deal. And then before long, you're dozing off and then you wake up, something's gone. Oh, Lord, help us that we be vigilant, that we not allow Satan to take advantage of us and ultimately destroy us. You pray for me that I be faithful to the Lord.